Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 FY26 results conference call of Yabe Digital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sakhi Panjwani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Good day. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the H2 FY26 conference call of Yabe Digital Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Atul Hegde, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Syamal Madhavi, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manan Kapoor, Senior Partner, Mr. Suraj Nendurkar, Associate Vice President, Strategy, Ms. Shivani Tiwari, Compliance Officer and Company Secretary. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Atul Hegde for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the entire Yabe Digital team, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all our investors, analysts, shareholders, and participants joining us today for our H2 FY26 earnings call. This is indeed a special occasion for us, as it marks our maiden earnings conference call as a listed company. FY26 has been a defining year in our journey. The successful listing of Yabe on NSE Emerge on 5th March 2026 marked the beginning of a new chapter for the company, strengthening our foundation for long-term growth and value creation. At the outset, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to our shareholders, clients, partners, and employees for their continued trust, confidence, and support throughout this journey. For those of you who may be interacting with Yabe for the first time, let me take this opportunity to briefly explain what we do and what we are building. Yabe is a new-age digital marketing content and technology services company operating at the intersection of digital media, creator economy, data, and AI-powered technology. From day one, our North Star has been very clear: to build India's first truly homegrown independent digital marketing network. Unlike traditional agencies that operate in silos, Yabe brings together data, content, and technology through our 3D philosophy of design, discovery, and distribution. Through design, we help brands build identities, create impactful content, and deliver engaging consumer experiences. Through discovery, we leverage influencer marketing, creator intelligence, content ecosystems, and online reputation management capabilities to help brands connect better with the right audiences. Through distribution, we deploy performance marketing, online media buying, programmatic media, ad tech, and analytics solutions that drive measurable business outcomes. What differentiates Yabe is our ability to combine creativity, technology, and data into one integrated platform. We are not simply executing campaigns; we are helping brands navigate a rapidly evolving digital landscape where consumer behavior, content consumption, and tech are constantly changing. Today, we work with global multinational companies, regional enterprises, local brands, and creator-led businesses across India, the UAE, and Singapore. Coming to our H2 FY26 financial performance, we delivered strong growth across all key metrics. Total income grew by 29.4% year-on-year to 138.56 crores. EBITDA increased by 132.18% to 27.25 crores, while net profit grew by another 129.15% to 19 crores. If you look at the full year, FY26 was one of the most significant years in Yap's history. We delivered record financial performance while simultaneously executing several strategic initiatives that will shape our future growth trajectory. For FY26, total income stood at 183.73 crores, representing year-on-year growth of 22.23%. EBITDA increased by 89.11% to 31.74 crores, while net profit grew by 97.95% to 22 crores. Beyond our financial performance, FY26 was also a year of significant strategic progress. During this year, we added more than 100 new client relationships across sectors, including BFSI, media, and agencies, technology, healthcare, travel, and tourism. FMCG and lifestyle, further strengthening our market presence and client diversification. A major milestone was the strategic acquisition of Gozoop, one of India's most respected digital marketing companies, which significantly enhanced our capabilities across creative services, brand strategy, digital solutions, and customer experience. The acquisition also brought the Hawk online reputation management platform into the Yap ecosystem, adding an extremely valuable technology layer and creating new opportunities for scalable productized services across our client base and beyond. The industry opportunity ahead remains compelling. Brands are increasingly shifting marketing budgets towards integrated, outcome-driven digital solutions, while the creator economy continues to unlock new avenues for engagement, commerce, and brand building. At the same time, artificial intelligence is transforming how content is created, distributed, measured, and optimized, creating significant opportunities for agile technology-enabled marketing partners. As we look ahead, our focus remains on building the agency of the future, one that combines technology, creative, and data-driven decision-making. Our growth strategy is centered on four priorities: deeper AI integration across our service offerings, development of proprietary technology platforms, strategic acquisitions within the creator technology ecosystems, and continued geographic expansion alongside strengthening our media buying and distribution capabilities. This is really the time for Indian independent companies like ours. In a sector that is dominated by foreign players, the Indian advertising sector is very unique, where almost 90% of the entire sector is dominated by foreign players. This is a great opportunity for a company like Yap, and we have demonstrated that an independent Indian agency network can successfully compete at scale. Going forward, we will continue investing in technology, talent, innovation, and strategic expansion to create sustainable long-term value for our clients, employees, and shareholders. Before I conclude, I would like to sincerely thank all the employees for their dedication, our clients for their trust, and our partners for their support, and of course, our shareholders for their confidence in our vision. With that, I would now like to open the door for questions and discussions. Thank you once again for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one. The first question comes from the line of Disha with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, ma'am, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. Couple of questions. Firstly, on our overall seasonality. So if I look at the past 2 years, I see H2 is almost contributing to 70% of our revenues. So could you describe a bit more on how do you see the H1, H2 mix going ahead?
Hi, Disha. Yes, you're absolutely right. H2 is primarily the advertising season in the country. If you look at how the advertising market works, it starts with festival and it peaks with IPL. So pretty much, H2 defines the category. Almost 60-65 spends in the category happen in H2. Also, if you look at BFSI is one very strong client sector for us, and all BFSI spends are skewed in H2. Almost 75% of all their spends happen in H2. Going ahead, we feel that this percentage will be more balanced. We will get a sense when we close this coming year with the acquisition of Bozoo, where the business is spread across the 12 months because most of them is retainer-led. But primarily, Indian advertising is skewed towards H2.
So any sort of mix that way? So for this year, what sort of mix can we see between H1 and H2? Could you give some color on that?
I think you will see, you will not see it as skewed as last year. Our sense is in the first quarter that we've seen so far, I think it will be about 35-40% in H1.
Okay. That is very helpful.
But again, this is just an estimate at this stage. Mm-hmm. It has lots of factors. But primarily for us, H2 is really, the season for advertising.
Correct. And so for this second half, we've also seen a very sharp improvement in margins. So what has led to that? And what sort of margins can we expect going ahead?
Yes, so basically if you see in our business, the margins are primarily defined by the media business, which is the third piece, which is distribution in our business. So it really depends on a function. If you see in H2, the contribution of non-media business has been higher than the media businesses, which is the other two things where the margin percentages are much more. But going ahead, we would pretty much be maintaining these margins.
So this 18% EBITDA that we've done in H2, that is sustainable?
Sorry, I missed your question.
Yeah, so the 18% EBITDA that we've done in H2, that is sustainable going ahead?
Pretty much sustainable. We would take a 1-2%.
And that is due to the contribution of...
As I said, it is a function of the third D in our business, which is primarily, media.
So I think there was some disturbance in your audio. So the media business has higher margin. That is what you said?
No, the media business
has non-media business.
Yes, okay. Non-media business has higher margin. So it becomes a function of the client's mix, right? Mm-hmm. If the set of clients are investing more in content creation and influencer marketing, the margins are higher. If the investments are more in the third D, then the margins are lower.
Okay. That is very clear, sir. Thirdly, I wanted to understand the overall customer stickiness in our business. What sort of propositions do we add that makes it difficult for customers to switch? And how do you see that overall scenario, sir? If you could just elaborate a bit more.
So if you see, our customer retention has been fairly high compared to industry standards. And primarily it is because, we have three services, the three D's, and majority of our customers buy more than one services. So they're typically buying two or three of services from us. And that gives us much larger stickiness with them. It's not engagement over just one of the three services. So historically we've seen that whenever a client engages and buys more than one services with us, typically their life cycle with us is much higher.
Okay, that is right, yes. Next question will be on the overall growth that you're targeting, sir, for FY27 and going ahead. How should we look at the overall revenue growth, given the acquisition as well?
So in terms of, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We have given ourselves a goal in the next 3 years. We want to be at least about 2% of the overall addressable market. Right? So that's really what we are building here at Yap along with our acquisitions. Our growth has been pretty robust in the last 3 years. So that growth trajectory pretty much would be similar. But for us, it's really about what we are building for the next 3 years, where we want to be a significant Indian player in this mix, which is dominated by foreign players, right? So internally for us, 2% market share of the addressable market, which is the agency business in India, is what we are gunning for 3 years from now.
So this 25-50% growth we can expect year on year.
Yes.
Okay, that is very clear, sir. And sir, in the second half, you've also seen a very sharp increase in other income. So what has led to that, and how do we see the overall run rate for FY27?
I think that's primarily because of the investments of the cash generated, right? So that's pretty much going to be similar.
Okay, so this will be similar.
Yeah.
Okay, and
it's
just
a function
on the acquisition...
of how we deploy it, right? So.
And just on the acquisition side, you mentioned that there are a couple more acquisitions that we are currently evaluating. Any sort of color on when do we what sort of space that we're targeting, any sort of asset size, if you could just elaborate a bit more on that.
Yes, so we are actively looking to up our game in the AI space. So anything which is in the AI content creator economy is of interest to us.
Anything in the advanced stages, sir?
I wouldn't say advanced. We have multiple conversations happening currently, both in India and the Middle East. And typically we've seen for us to close an acquisition is anywhere between 6 to 9 months. So currently we have multiple conversations going on, but nothing that I would term as, something that we would be in advanced stage.
Okay. That is very clear, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Vinod with VS Venture. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. I just have a couple of questions. So, what was the acquisition cost of Gozo?
Hello. Mr. Vinod, there's a lot of background disturbance from your end. If you can repeat your question.
Yes, sir. I was asking what was the acquisition cost of Gozo? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Atul, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah, so the Gozo acquisition is structured across 3 years. It was done at an 8 multiple of EBITDA. It's a 80% cash, 20% equity. In the first tranche where we acquired 60.1 or 2%, basically 60% plus, the overall outflow was to the tune of about 35 odd crores. The exact amount we'll share with you in terms of the cash component, and plus 20% of the overall deal structure in equity.
Like, what's the strategic rationale behind this, and what are the financial benefits you expect from this deal?
So, as I said, our goal is to really build India's first homegrown digital marketing network, right? So Gozo gives us muscle. It gives us addition to about 100 and odd clients, which is part of the Gozo portfolio. It gives us a very, very strong base in Mumbai. While Yap is across 7 locations, Gozo is concentrated in Mumbai. Gozo also, 50% of Gozo's revenues comes from Hawk, which is a state-of-the-art online reputation management platform that they have. We feel that Hawk is something that every Indian, large Indian or multinational working in India will need those services, because today brand reputation online is extremely, extremely important. So it adds a very, very important layer to us, which is both tech plus service. So that's really this. And more importantly, the quality of people, client retention, across the kind of marquee clients that they work for. So overall, that's really been this. It takes us, strengthens us, adds muscles to us, takes us deeper across our three services. And with Hawk, it adds an extremely sticky layer to our overall offerings.
And sir, any specific categories that you are looking to acquire in the next 12 to 14 months?
Yes, we are looking for anything that is AI tech-led in the creator economy space. This is something of, it's the fastest growing segment in digital marketing today. So this is something that we are actively looking for.
Is there any timeline? How much do we have any target?
But there's no immediate timeline, but we would definitely look at one acquisition in this financial year at least. But for us, important to get the right fit, right company, than a timeline-led approach, where we are forced to acquire because of timelines.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I will join back with you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yash Rathor with Unique Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to know, given the fragmented nature of digital marketing industry, what prevents clients from moving work in-house or switching agencies frequently?
I think the large serious clients don't do that, because continuity is extremely important for any business, and that also applies to a strong digital marketing partner. And we've seen that with our own experience. When large clients want to consolidate, they'd rather consolidate, with one partner they've been working with, which is why I keep on saying that this is the only category where 90% of the business is concentrated with international giants. And that's because clients are looking to consolidate with agencies that can build scale and with agencies that have worked with them over a period of time. So the biggest stickiness in our business comes over a period of time. Yap being around for almost a decade, Guzup being around for almost 15 plus years, it's a great foundation for us to build stickiness and increase our client portfolio.
Okay. Many of the agencies globally have struggled to monetize AI despite significant investment. So what gives you confidence that Yap's AI initiative will generate meaningful returns?
So there are two ways to look at AI, right? Most of the global networks are actually investing for the next decade or so. For us at Yap, AI is an integral part of what our services are. So we are integrating AI into our 3Gs and into Hawk. Right, so we are integrating it into existing businesses. So for us, AI gives us the ability to scale without increasing our headcount. AI gives us the ability to go deeper into analytics, and that is really the core of any marketing. So for us, the AI lens is really that.
Okay. And do you also expect the pace of 100 plus new clients addition to continue annually, or will the focus shift towards increasing wallet share from existing clients?
It's going to be a mix of both, right? We want to go deeper into existing clients, because now with Google acquisition, we have a very large internal base. So the pace of new number of clients might be lesser, but the overall volume will increase significantly.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you for answering.
The next question comes from the line of Ashish Kumar with SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask, how much of your business is project-based versus like recurring-based?
70% of all business is recurring.
Sorry, sir?
70% of the business is recurring.
Okay. And all the other are project-based, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So you added more than 100 clients, new clients, so in FY26, right? So how many of these are like meaningful revenue generating clients versus like smaller engagement clients?
So for us, every client is meaningful, right? Because you never know, because you're building a base, you're building something where you really want to, have a client for the next 4, 5, 10 years. So every entry that we get is extremely meaningful for us. If you're asking me how many of them are regular and how many of them would be projects, I think it will be a 50-50 split.
Okay. So the maximum revenue is generated by 50% of your clients, like 50 clients.
Not necessarily. You can have a project which is extremely fee intensive. So it could be a 3-4 month project that could give you a same revenue as a retainer for the for the entire year. So it really depends on the nature of projects that we would pick up, and so it's a mixed bag.
Okay. Understood. So can you share your top 10 client contribution to revenue and whether the client concentration is increasing or decreasing?
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
Yeah, so can you share your top 10 clients contribution to revenue? So like, and whether the client concentration is like increasing or decreasing?
So our top 10 clients would contribute to about, say, 40-odd%, and this is decreasing rapidly.
Okay. So, what was the contribution of the new clients versus the existing clients in FY26 growth?
New clients overall would be less than 25%, because new clients are not, all of them do not come at the beginning of the financial year. Some of them would have come with 3 months left, 4 months left. So if I had to average out, all of that would be about 20 to 24%.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you for the opportunity once again.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Riya Jain with Orient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Okay. So some year to a quarter of revenue now comes from markets outside India. What are your plans for scaling the UAE and Singapore business further?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
A quarter of revenue now comes from markets outside India. So what are your plans for scaling the UAE and Singapore business further?
For us, the entire GCC is a market of interest for us. We feel that there's a great opportunity in newer markets like Saudi Arabia. Also, we have been looking for acquisitions in that market. We've now gone slow because of the current environment there. But we also believe that that is a region that has always shown that it bounces back the fastest compared to any region after the crisis. And what it will also do is it might give us some extremely attractive acquisition opportunities in that region. So yes, we are actively looking for growth via acquisitions in the GCC.
Okay. And which geography do you believe offers the largest growth opportunity over the next 3 years?
Sorry, again, your voice is muffled.
So which geography do you believe offers the largest growth opportunity over the next 3 years?
India. I think the way digital marketing is exploding in India, we are already looking at, you know, an overall advertising pie reaching 200,000 crores, out of which digital is the number one category with almost 57-58% market share. So for us to focus in terms of larger growth will continue to be in India. We'll continue investing across markets here. We will also be looking at presence in some of the non-metro cities in India in the next 3 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Vinod with VS Venture. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Am I audible? Hello?
Oh, yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So our PAT has grown significantly, but the operating cash flow over the same period are still negative. So what explains this gap? So can you share some insights from that?
Sorry, I'm still... Can you just repeat? Your voice is muffled.
Yeah, is it better?
Yes.
Yeah, so I would think your PAT has grown significantly, but our operating cash flows had like not grown at the same rate growth. So what explains this gap between the two? Still negative.
I think one of the biggest reason has been some of our larger clients. You know, we've been giving them larger credit terms, but the so also with some of our larger vendors, we manage better credit terms. All of the growth, if you see, we are an H2 company in terms of our, you know, majority of our business happens in H2. So I see the operating cash flow increasing significantly in this current financial year.
Okay. And so what is the typical working cycle of the business?
Anywhere between 80 to 110 days.
Okay. And over the period, like last 2-3 years, how is it evolving? Where do you see it going forward?
It's pretty much been the same, you know, maybe 5-10% up and down, depending on very specific client base. Also, since overall our base is still relatively small, right? A couple of large clients can swing the overall data. So we feel that, you know, by the end of this coming financial year, we'll have much more robust data that is across clients.
And sir, what percentage of EBITDA is typically converted, like do you expect to be converted into operating cash flow? And like what is your target next year?
I think it should be anywhere between 60 to 70% going ahead.
Okay, sir. And so one last question, like how much of working capital would be required if we want to do an incremental revenue of 100 crore, 200 crore? So how much working capital is required for that?
It really depends on what of the 3 Ds that we pick up, right? We have businesses that are across 3 Ds. If it is primarily media business, which is the distribution part of it, then you would need working capital, which is almost about 40-50% of the overall numbers that you would build. So it's really a function of where the new 100 crores is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm going to join back with you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Parag Dave with Dave Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Good afternoon. What is the average tenure of your client relationships, and how has the client retention trended over the last few years?
So average client relationship is about 3 years plus, and we operate pretty much on about 60-odd% of retention in the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay. And H2 EBITDA grew over 130%, while revenue also grew around 29%. What are the key drivers behind such significant operating leverage?
So the key drivers is the nature of business. We operate in the 3 Ds, right, where we have design, distribution, and design, discovery, and distribution. Distribution is our media businesses. Right, our key drivers in terms of EBITDA growth are the first two buckets, which is discovery and design. So it's really a function of what kind of projects you pick up in that period of time.
Okay, and are the H2 margins sustainable, or should investors view them as unusually strong due to one-time factors?
I think the overall financial year margins are sustainable. H2 margins will typically reflect that kind of margins in H2, right? Because we are primarily 60%, 70% of our business comes from H2, which is also the advertising cycle for India. As I said earlier, it's really from the festival season to IPL. So H2 on its own margins are sustainable, give or take 1 or 2%. But overall margin guidelines, the entire year is a better picture.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's all from my side, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press *1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Priyank Kotri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, in FY26, we reported a margin of approximately 17%. So, in terms of margin expansion, is there any scope, and what is the management's aspiration in terms of margin expansion, and what do you expect going forward?
So going forward, I think in a 3-year period, there's definitely scope for increase of margin. But, our focus really, especially for this year, is to consolidate the business, look at a much larger market share, because it's a great opportunity for an Indian company to build a large Indian network, especially in the digital marketing space. But yes, in a 3-year horizon, with the kind of investments we are doing and the acquisitions we are doing in AI-led, in the content creators economy, there is scope for margin expansion.
Also, sir, what is the typical cost of acquisition of a customer for us? How do we track that metric?
So we don't track cost of acquisition of a customer. Right, because most of our customer acquisitions is either through an inbound call or is through a referral. So there is really no this. But what we really look at, once we acquire a customer, for us, the benchmark is, how quickly are we able to cross-sell across all our services. So typically, if a customer comes in and buys one service, for us, internally, we have a benchmark that in the first 6 months, can we actually upgrade them where they're buying more than one services for us. That's one benchmark for us. Second is year-on-year growth, right? How do we ensure that typically a customer grows by 15 to 20% with us every year? And third is retention, right? An average retention of 3 years plus. So for us, the focus on new business, new customers are really these three metrics.
Also, so one bookkeeping question. Debtors days have almost doubled year-on-year. So any light on that? Any reasons for the same, if you'd like to share?
Sorry, can you repeat? Your voice is muffled.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask, the debtors days have ideally almost doubled year on year. So currently we are standing at around 150 days of debtor days. So any reasons for that, and how do we plan to reduce that in future?
So I think two actually the right picture to look at is on both sides, since typically we would get credit from our vendors and then we pass it on to clients. So the ideal way to look at is what is the net difference, and that is something that we have pretty much maintained across. As business grows and large businesses grow, I see this number pretty much, you know, being at that range of maybe 10% down.
Okay. And so in terms of growth aspirations, next 2-3 years, at what rate revenue we can grow? Offline.
See, we are looking, you know, one of the things that we have given ourselves is that in 3 years' time, we need to be 2% market share of a very large addressable market. And that's what we are really, you know, that's what we are really looking at. You know, so for us, it's really about how we are able to have a much longer strategic growth rather than look at one particular year, because the growth can be skewed by 2-3 acquisitions that come in that year. So for us, it's really about how we are able to consolidate year on year to reach that goal of 2% market share.
So what is the TAM of the 2% that we are targeting, sir?
See, the overall, if you look at today, and if I project at today's growth, the overall market, the advertising market is about 2 lakh crores. Out of that 2 lakh crores, about 60% would be digital. Out of that 60%, about 30%, 50% of that is an addressable market for us.
Okay. So 2% of that 50% is a fair estimate,
yes,
right?
Yes, is what we are gunning for, yes.
Okay. So in terms of peers, sir, do we have a comparable listed peer, sir?
No, we don't. We are the first digital marketing company in India to get listed. There's absolutely
okay.
no peers that we currently have. But the way I
okay.
see it is, we'll have at least about 7-8 similar companies like Yap listing in the next 12 months.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I guess the Bright Advertising and Simca, those are OTT, right? Outdoor advertising. Yes.
Yeah, those are outdoor companies.
And we are not anywhere
outdoor.
Related to outdoor advertising, right? We don't do that.
No. No, they don't. I mean, we don't do it. If a client insists and it's a very large client, then we would do it
right.
through a partner.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, fine. Thank you for answering all inquiries.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Saki for closing remarks.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Yap Digital Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at resource@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference.
On behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.